Mother and Daughter Podcast, and it is, we've not done this really before. This is part two with myself and the Mother Hubbard, and with the gorgeous Tracy Miles. Part two, we're going to keep you. We're going to keep you forever, if that's okay.
Sounds good to me. I stayed over with Wendy the other night. She's got a great concierge. I think she's married him. He's called Chris. brings you tea in bed. It's lovely. It's lovely. I'm happy to stay.
You don't know how lucky you are sometimes, Mrs. Watson. Tell you, honestly, takes it all for granted.
Well, of course. Of course. I mean, one needs to, you know, husbands need. He gets all the tools he needs.
Oh, right. So he's allowed to order any kind of tool that he wants.
He can have as many tools as he likes.
Right. As long as he makes you a cup of tea in the morning, which he do you know what? He's done that, Tracy.
Yeah.
Don't just make a one, he makes a two at a time.
One is
depressing. Yeah. You've only just got into it, so you have to have two.
It's lovely. It's just lovely.
I love the fact that you've had a night at Mum's, right? And you're coughing, you're smiling your head off. And you wait till the grandkids get there as well. Tracy, You know, it's been amazing for me, particularly to meet you and for everything that you stand for and what you're doing for the charities, what you're doing for everybody, really. You're awesome. You are definitely bound to be part of the team, that is for sure. Just to go over it again in case sort of people missed out, what would you say is your official title? How many titles do you have? I think there's a few, isn't there?
Well, there's a couple, but I'll choose two. So in the NHS, I'm Associate Director of Nursing and Midwifery at the Southwest Genomic Medicine Service Alliance. So basically, you taxpayers pay for me to head up one of seven regions where we're looking to make sure that people can get better genetic or genomic testing when they're having their healthcare. And the other thing I do is I work with the Eve Appeal, which is a gynae cancer research charity, where I talk to women and men. So it's about Adam as well as Eve, where when they have concerns about any gynae cancer questions, and one of the things they often ask about is genetics, and in particular ovary cancer.
Of course it is. You just mentioned there as well, midwifery. Were you a midwife as well at some point?
No, full disclosure, I love midwives because they helped me deliver my two children. I did all the grunting and the pushing. But I do work with midwives as well. So I work across all of the healthcare, so nurses and midwives together.
Anything to do with the bottom half, really?
Absolutely.
I like this. We wanted to keep you, you know, as I say, you will be regular on this, but we touched sort of briefly on it, and I don't think we've talked very much about ovarian cancer and the effects that it has hereditary wise. And you mentioned in the last episode that you had been doing this for quite some time, and then all of a sudden ladies were coming in going, what about the Angelina Jolie gene? And you know, you took it on yourself to go and find out about it, but not just that, then to be able to train in it. And because it ultimately meant if you got a gene, am I right with this? Do stop me at any time. If you've got a breast cancer gene, you are then entitled to different medicines which could add length to your life.
You've got it in a nutshell, in that we've all got Adam and Eve BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes. That's normal. We've all got them, and they're known as tumour suppressor genes. And what they do are BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, and there are other genes which are allied to breast cancer and ovarian cancer, but just talking about these two today. What we know is that if you have an alteration or mutation, means the same thing in BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, you are likely to have a higher risk of getting breast cancer, prostate cancer, pancreas cancer and ovary cancer. Breast cancer being the biggie, but we're talking about ovary cancer today.
Yes. Yeah. And again, I think the when I went to go and have my ovaries out only a couple of years ago, people still didn't know. They were like, what are you doing that? You've had this bit done. And also, there's so much that we always need to talk about, because there's a big difference between BRCA1 and BRCA2, isn't there? But again, this is something that...
Yeah, I think Tracy's just brought up a very important thing. And I always want to interject when people say, oh, well, I'm BRCA2, I'm BRCA1. No, we've all, as she said, we've all got it, but there can be alterations, mutations, there can also be deletions. And I've only just recently found out our mutation is in a very strange place on BRCA1 that it took them ages to find because it was so hidden, and they haven't yet found another family with our alteration.
Really?
No.
So we're our own publishers, so to speak.
Well, at the moment, yes. Gareth is going to look into it, actually, to see if he can find any other families. There's some register somewhere where all these alterations are listed. But people need to be aware that when you say, I am BRCA1, what you mean is I have a mutation in BRCA1.
When I explain it to people, when I do it, right, I say, right, we've all got policemen in our bodies, right, and we've got policemen that are there to fight off the baddies, right, which is like the cancer. We've got a bent copper.
I suppose that's not...
I like that. I'm going to steal that one, girlfriend.
That's not a bad analogy, really.
Thank you.
Got a bit of a quirk to it.
Yeah. He's letting all the baddies in. He's being paid. Anyway, we digress. So the ovarian side of things, for me, Tracy, was the hardest. It was the scariest.
Yep.
It was the most... thing that played mentally with me because of the effects that it meant in the long term. And the reason I say this is that 24, I had a preventative double mastectomy. Mm-hmm. That was fine. That's, do you know what I mean? That's fine. I've got brilliant boobs now.
I'm looking at them.
I will show you in the flesh. But, you know, but
you
also they are.
Them last night.
No, I didn't.
I'm sure
I did not get them out in the restaurant last night.
No,
I've stopped doing that now.
They were halfway out.
Well, anyway, but they, you know, but they're risk free, and that is just brilliant. When it came to making the decision about my ovaries, I didn't have my children till a bit later. I think I'd even made when I was 32, and then to get pregnant with Bobby wasn't that easy. In fact, let me tell you, I'd gone. Because I was getting late into my 30s, and they say the later into your 30s, the more high risk you are of developing ovarian cancer. And I'd gone to go and see the gynae team to talk about having my eggs frozen, because I knew that they were going to take the ovaries but leave my womb. And I got the letter through to have my eggs frozen the day I tested positive, pregnant with Bobby.
Wow.
I know. But literally up until that time, I've gone goose pimply. I was emotional about it.
Yeah.
Because you have got in your head, I've got to do this. And then every little twang, every little cramp, every little whatever, I thought, oh, God. You know what I mean? Is this it? But I want another baby.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it did play mentally with me. Then when I had them out, it put me straight in the menopause, and I'm never going to forgive anybody for putting me in this stupid menopause. But, you know, we're getting through it. But ultimately, ovarian cancer, it's vicious.
It's nasty.
It?
Yeah.
So what should people be looking out for? Can you tell people what the risks are? Because in some families, am I right, ovarian is it more than breast, depending on how it is in the family?
Well, there are some mutations on the BRCA1, BRCA2 genes. And I don't know how to explain this, but there are some families that are more affected by ovarian cancer than breast cancer. Although, over the board, having, you know, generically, if you've got a faulty breast cancer gene, you've got an 80 to 90% chance of developing breast cancer, and around about a 20 to 40% chance of developing ovarian cancer. But that is generic, and there are just some families that, just for some reason, and I don't know if it's been found yet, don't seem to get breast cancer but do get ovarian cancer.
Around 80% of breast cancers are detected because women themselves notice changes in their breasts. Make it easier to spot with the Aware Self-Examination Kit. Available at awarebreastcheck.co.uk. Proud sponsors of the Mother and Daughter Breast of Friends podcast.
So in all your years of been doing this, you know, you must have seen some horrific circumstances, really.
Sadly, yes, but it is improving because we're getting the message out there, one, about being tested. So that's working in a similar fashion as to you and the way you and mum work with the helpline. But also because in the NHS now, what we do is we offer every woman who has ovary cancer the opportunity to be tested. Mm-mm. And that means that then her family can then also, depending on that result, be tested. So we're raising awareness that way.
Right. So just let me... I wasn't sure about this. So if you have ovarian cancer, is this at any age or is it under a certain age? Is it any age?
It's any age now. It's not all of the ovarian cancers, just to be clear for your listeners. It's the majority of them. And if they want to go into more depth and hear about that more, I'm more than happy. Well, I'm working with mum. So yeah. She's not getting rid of me now. In fact, she said she didn't want to. So there's a good thing. But also we can collaborate with the Eve Appeal yeah. about supporting and information that, because I shall be pinging people from the Eve Appeal back your way. So
yeah.
That's our collaborative approach.
And Tracy's going to become part of the helpline as well.
Which is brilliant.
I don't think she knows that yet. Have I just sprung that on to you?
You heard that here, listeners.
I love it. Well, I think it would be quite nice to do, actually, is to do maybe a live question and answer thing if people are listening. And if you do have any questions at any time, you can always email us, directly. And, it's all private and confident. You can be anonymous if you like. And maybe we'll come back and answer those questions in the emails that we've been sent, because what we really, really want to stress, right, never ever is it a stupid question.
Yeah, exactly.
It just isn't, because I tell you what, I ask questions all the time, but I'm trying to keep up and I'm trying to keep on top of stuff, and I'm not that thick, sometimes I am, but it's never a stupid question. So please do feel free to ask. What gets me about ovarian cancer is, what do you look out for? What are the signs? And another myth I'd like to dispel, people automatically think as well that if you're going to have a family history of ovarian cancer, you're going to have it of cervical cancer. That's not the case, is it?
You're absolutely right. Let's do the cervical cancer one first. All of you listeners, if you're women, I hope you go for your regular screening. That's your cervix cancer. That's what used to be called the smear, yeah? Yep. So we get invited to do that. That is to test to see if we've got precancerous cells in our cervix, the neck of our womb. And Becky, you are absolutely right. You've clearly been doing your Googling and reading. You've got 10 out of 10, darling.
Yes.
Because it is not a test for ovary cancer or womb cancer or vulva cancer or vagina cancer. It's just cervix cancer. So you really must do that. That's really important, but it's not going to test you for ovary cancer. So let's hopefully we bust that myth.
Yep.
Now, signs and symptoms of ovary cancer. You're right, it's really difficult because actually, let's go with the word busting. There's a few signs and symptoms. One of them is bloating or feeling fit to bust, feeling full, that's regular, that doesn't go away. So persistent bloating. So for more than 3 weeks or more, that's one of them. Feeling full all the time. The doctors call it satiety, but it's feeling stuffed, bust to the gut, feeling really, really full and not going away. Wanting, busting again. I'm on a roll here, aren't I?
She's busting
feeling
all over.
Like you might want to wee a bit more often. That's another sign and symptom. One of the other biggies, though, is change in bowel habits. I'm now going to get onto poo. You can tell I'm a girl that looks after things with your knickers, can't I? But actually, changing in your bowel habits. So that could be bunged up, constipated, or diarrhea, the other one. So that's the other one.
You would never think that.
No.
I'm sorry, but you wouldn't. You'd think if I've got diarrhea, what the hell has that got to do with my ovaries?
Exactly. So, and usually, hell nothing, because actually that's a complex, that's a sort of collection of symptoms. So I've described feeling full, changing bowel habits, needing to wee more often, my girth, which to me in my normal language is my waistline getting fuller and not going down. Well, all of those things happen as a woman gets older. They can happen to me when I've gone down Curry Mile in Manchester. I might get all of those. So how did they could happen to me if I was younger and had irritable bowel syndrome? So how do I know if it's a cancer? The answer is it's probably not. There's a higher risk that it probably might be if I've got that genetic alteration, if my policeman is a bad cop for my tumour suppressor gene, okay? Yeah. So it's important to know what my genetic status is. The important thing, though, is if I'm not sure and I've got all of those symptoms and I'm worried, then go to my GP and say, I've got these symptoms. They don't go away. I haven't been down Curry Mile. I'm not sure what it is. And it's better to get checked out.
How will they check you? What would they? Because when I used to have regular CA125s,
yeah.
Another thing that a lot of people had no idea about them, and I still think a lot of people don't. I don't know whether they still do CA125s. Yeah. And it was an ultrasound.
Yeah.
Is that what would happen?
So, yes and no. So, you're absolutely right, Becky. So how do we check some? The first thing is the GP needs to take a history. Now, I don't mean family history. We're on our genetic day today, aren't we? But what I mean by taking a full history is, how long has your poo been altered for? How long have you been wanting to wee for more? How full have you been? So they take a history of your symptoms. They should also know what your family history is, but they might not have time to ask. So if you know that you've got ovary cancer in the family or ovary and breast cancer in the family, tell them. If a GP is worried that you might have an ovary cancer in this situation, what they'll do is they will do the CA125. Okay, CA125 is simply a protein that we make when we get, for some women, when we get an ovary cancer. It's called CA125 because the mouse, here's a little funny, the mouse in all the lab tests that they were doing when they wanted to work out what is the protein, what does it look like in ovary cancer, it was mouse number 125. That's why it's called CA125. Wow. That's why the mouse in breast cancer was called 15-3. That's where the number comes from.
Wow.
It's not science. It's all around mice. Anyway, so CA125 is tested. And if that is raised, that might indicate an ovary cancer. But it can also be a red herring. I've gone from mice to fish, haven't I? I tell you why. Because CA125 can also be raised when you've got something inflammatory going on in the peritoneal cavity. Okay, in English, that means the bit from our rib cage down into our pelvis. So it goes up also when you get appendicitis and inflammation. So just because you've got a raised CA125 doesn't mean you've got ovary cancer. Becky, you mentioned the other thing that we might do, and that's a pelvic ultrasound. The best way of looking at the ovaries is actually to do it with a TVS, transvaginal. So that's putting a probe into the vagina. Did you have that done?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. On several occasions. Yeah.
Not painful, not comfy.
No.
And for some people, it can be embarrassing, and I get that.
Easier after two children.
Absolutely. But it's the best way to be able to look at the ovaries to see if there's any change there. So you might be thinking, hang on a minute, we know there's that cervix smear thing that we all must go to. And if you don't go to, Becky, Wendy and I will know. I don't know how we'll know, but we will know, listeners. What about, why couldn't we do the CA125? And why couldn't we do this transvaginal ultrasound or another ultrasound on a regular basis to see whether or not a woman is likely to have ovary cancer? Well, we thought about that too. So there's been a massive trial done on that. Over 10,000 women took part to see whether or not it's worth doing that screening for us. And actually the result was it doesn't work for the general population. However, the jury is still out and we'll hear more in the next year or so as to whether women who have an alteration or mutation in BRCA1 or BRCA2, it might be worth actually doing that screening for them. So we're still, the initial ideas and figures were no, but it's being re-looked at now. And lovely Professor Gareth Evans, who we all know and love, is part of that team, along with lovely Professor Ranjit Manjenta, who also knows the helpline, is looking at that. So no doubt, yeah, I am going to stick with you, Wendy. You've got to come back and report on that. So that's where we are with that.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for, you know, the news that you're going to give us, but I can't wait to have you back. And it is so interesting to listen to all of this. And I think things vary in so many different places as well. And that shouldn't be happening, should it?
No, you know? Absolutely. One thing we didn't cover off was when we were talking right at the beginning, it's because I got onto your bent copper thing and I just like, I love it. Is one of the things you asked me at the beginning was about the medicine side of things. So just to be clear for our listeners, your listeners, girls, is when I say girls, I'm looking at two girls on the sofa. I know. I hope we're talking to men and women here, Adam and Eve, because it's a girl and boy thing, this
Absolutely.
Whole genetic thing. It's all about our families. When we're talking about the medicines, the precision medicine that we can use at the moment, the PARP inhibitors, which is this class of drug that we can use if we know in ovary cancer a woman has a BRCA gene change, can actually change the outcome of their treatment and give them a longer life. It's not going to cure, it can give them a longer life. It is now, of this year, entered the breast cancer world.
Correct.
Okay.
I was going to bring that up, actually, because I knew that
PARP
inhibitors have now been introduced for various different types of cancers that previously, you know, that it wasn't appropriate for. And actually what I want to do, and I don't want to go into this because I want to bring Gareth back in to talk about all the different drugs that are around and include tamoxifen in that as a prevention as well. So there's a great big topic about drugs that prevent, that actually cure, that or whatever. There's it's a massive subject. So I don't think just now is the right time, but I did want to bring in that PARP inhibitors now are playing an important part for some breast cancers.
Yes.
Not all.
This would be interesting, but again, this is definitely a podcast for another day, podcasts for another day, in that we know within certain ethnic minorities as well that they don't want to know,
yes,
because of religion and because of certain elements that say that would mean, well, if I won't have surgery and I can't have surgery and it will not allow me to, so why should I know? So by introducing more drugs and more choices as well, not only are we opening that up in general, but actually it's going to be a huge thing for the people that have probably shied away from it because of that fear.
I hope so. I really do. I really do. I'm very keen. And I think, you know, we probably were before our time, because I remember when I released the record in 1996 to raise the money for Andrea and Rhonda, because they'd been refused everything, as you know. It's another story. But I remember then saying that having surgery is not the only thing.
Yeah.
It was right for me, but it wouldn't be right for everybody. Yeah. But everybody has the right to have all the information on whether you do nothing, or whether you go for screening, or whether you go for drug prevention, or whether you go for surgery, and what type of surgery. And so long as people have got the full information and the limitations of all of those options, then it's their choice.
Absolutely. Knowledge is the power, isn't
and,
it?
And now that I've got Tracy, we've got an expert on ovarian cancer.
Well,
because I am not an expert on ovarian cancer, although I do know the risks involved with the hereditary genes with ovarian cancer. I am listening with fascination to a lot of what Tracy's saying. It's news to me too.
And this is what's the beauty of doing this.
It's wonderful.
Tracy, can I just ask you, because there will be people listening and they're probably thinking, oh, my mum had ovarian cancer. Or I think my grandma had that. Or my sister's had it. And they'll be thinking, well, what do I do? What do I do? What do they do?
So there's the now. So if, sadly, a family member has got an ovarian cancer now, she will be offered testing. So from there, that will then enable the family to know about it and be offered testing. But if we're looking back to, say, mum had died 10 years ago, or mum has not died but had ovary cancer 10 years ago, then what we can do, you can go to the GP, you can talk to them, you can say, could you refer me to clinical genetics? You will need to have a couple of first degree relatives. So that's like your family.
Yeah.
Your mum.
Yeah.
I know your mum hasn't had cancer, but if your mum had had cancer and your mum's mum, your granny, had ovarian cancer, then you would warrant having the gene test done that way. I know it was a different route for you because we knew what mum's alteration was. But yeah, if people are unsure, then please ask them to call into the helpline, your helpline. And if Wendy's team aren't sure, they can talk to the helpline that I work with so we can collaborate on that.
Absolutely. All of these details are there for you. And again, just don't be afraid, right? Always ask the question. If, you know, if it comes back and it's nothing, then brilliant,
yeah,
right? But you have the right to know, and you can know, and there are people out there that will help you. We're going to make sure that we put the Eve Appeal, the link to the Eve Appeal, onto our website as well. We do have a brand new website now, motherdaughterbreastfriends.co.uk, which is where you can find all the episodes of the podcast. And ultimately, that page is literally will be a linking site to everywhere else, so you'll be able to get all the information that you need, whether it's the helpline, the Eve Appeal, or whether you just want to send us an email. But I think it's just, again, just needs sort of reiterating, just ask the question, you know.
And please know that we are in it for the long term. We're not just a helpline that you can pick up and get an answer from. We're there all through the journey.
That is very, very true. And, you know, we've got people, we spoke to Dawn and Jordan only the other day. You know, we worked out how many years we've known them now, and they're still here, and we're still doing, we would all of us, you know, Tracy, all of these charities, you know, charities that were going to be coming here and talking to you, we won't let you go. Don't worry about that. Yeah, and I say to people as well that one of the most beautiful things about having a BRCA gene is the extended family that it brings and the extended community that it actually brings.
Yeah, look at the BRCA sisters that go on holiday.
I know.
They wouldn't have known each other.
100%.
They wouldn't have known each other. And
that was all through getting naked in a calendar a lot of the time.
Yeah, all that sort of thing. And, you know, the amount of... I think the thing is that... finding out that you have a faulty gene makes you feel isolated, because if you haven't got a faulty gene, then it's very difficult to comprehend what another person is going through. So this is one of the most important things about the support groups that we've got, is the opportunity to relate to others who completely understand all the things that you're going through, the decisions that you've got to make. Thinking about having surgery when there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a weird situation. Mm. Not usually something that you encounter. But of course, now that we've got this, it's important to know that people have got other people that they can talk to. We've got, I say, we have support groups all over the place. They do meetings. We have lunches. Some of them go off on holidays together. We have the ball, and people come from hundreds and hundreds of miles to meet up, and it's just amazing.
I always explain this to people, because when you have a gene, you're not poorly. There's nothing wrong with you, right? So in your head, so you still got to go to work. You still got to, you know, look after your kids on a day to day. You still got to do everything that you've got to do, with constantly having this nagging your head.
The sword of Damocles hanging over you.
Yeah, the what? The sword of what?
Damocles.
Oh, she comes out with some nice phrases at the time.
She sure does, doesn't she?
I can't even say it. But it is right. And I think that's why, you know, the helpline was always sort of instrumental late at night, because that's when people were worrying the most. It's when they had the opportunity to sit and be still. Mm. But also, again, that comes down to the partners. You know, this is another podcast, again, for another time, but I always hugely feel for the dads.
Yeah.
You know, the dads that have either lost their wives and then they've got the children to think about, or the dads that have got a gene and they've potentially passed it on to their children. And I know that we are going to go through that. But that is another, you know, added worry to everything.
There's podcast after podcast.
There is. There most certainly is. But, you know, I'm hoping that people are listening are sort of starting to begin to realise who we are and what we're about. And that we're, in as they'd say up north, we're 8 sound.
I love that.
We're a proper 8, all right. But we are.
It just reminded me of something I watched last night.
Oh, gosh, what?
The MASH report, where it said there's been a spate of Northerners coming to London saying hello to people. And in fact, one man has been apprehended. He got off the train at 9:32 at King's Cross. And by the time he'd reached Oxford Circus, he'd said hello to 3 or 4 people.
Shock horror.
Everyone looks at him, gone out, is going to say, do I know you? Don't need to know you're out here.
He was apprehended by the police, but he's been let go because actually speaking to strangers isn't a crime for another couple of years. And that's what we're like here. We're here to have fun with you, but be informative. And, you know, just know that we're normal people. We're here. You've heard the magnificent Tracy. She's normal as anything.
Absolutely, you are. You can see that. You can tell why I'm a good judge of energies. I am, Tracy. I could see it straight away. And we're so grateful because you've travelled all this way as well. To come and be a part of this. And I said to my other half last night, I went, I am massively humbled right now because we came up with this idea and this concept, and for someone to take the time out to travel 3.5 hours to be part of it, thank you. Thank
it's
you
been
for everything.
An absolute pleasure, and I will be back.
She will be back. And I think, yes, if you do have any questions at all, as we've said, we can direct you to either the Hereditary Breast Cancer Helpline or the Eva Pill. But if you'd like to email us directly, you can go to our website at motherdaughterbreastfriends.co.uk. You can just click on the hello bit there, and any questions that you have for Tracy, we will pass to her directly and we'll bring her back on to answer them. Tracy, we love you. Thank you.
Fabulous. Look forward to chatting again soon.